friends and fellow adventurers, welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Bloodlords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout out to all of those at our big number level and above. Rock Jedi, Iggy, Wolf, Blartimus Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizzgig, AC Goldner, Eric R, Ope just gonna sneak right past you there, Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadowheart, Cyrendon, The Necromancer Forever, Jason K, Tiki Lopez, Licky Dopez, Ricky Ropebridge, Alex K, Doma Alaka, Frank L, Just Mike Works, Ross D, Our Goon's Long Lost Elbow, Fig Tier, Zach S, Jamie H, Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W, Corey, Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Fire Down, M54 Ewaz, Jameson S, Eric R, +24+7 of Whacking, I'm Not a Robot, George F, Leo Hart, Hard Har Har, and Witch Hunter. Thank you all so much for your support. And now a recap of Session 9. We've been invited to a dinner with some Zan-Kuthan worshippers. We go to our meeting with them, they're terrible, and everything is gross. The good thing is the food is great. The main Kuthite guy, Ortgar Stitchskull, tells us of a plot to poison food that goes to Greydirge. We already kind of knew this, but didn't know much. He believes it's being done by the new leader of the Bone Shards gang. Ortgar wants us to go look into this. He knows where their hideout is. We decide to head there that night and see what we can find out. We go into some tunnels under the meat market district. We find a gate made of fused teeth. As we explore, we find some skulls who attack us. They get smashed. Gerdrug explores into a big room full of bones. There's a couple animated hand patrols who die easily. We prepare to continue on.
Congratulations. You now are sitting in this empty rendering facility that seems to have just this random camp set up to the south, some room in the back with just heaps of bones, and even it looks like a little nook off to the north.
I go check out the camp.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Oh, and I tell him that there's a camp down here, and it seems to be that there aren't any more enemies down here to the south.
I'll follow if I no longer have to be stealthing.
Perception 17. Not great, but
I check as well. 22.
So you are able to find in the abandoned campsite along that southern wall. You see just a couple of tents, some bedrolls, some clothing, cookware, slop buckets, other supplies, maybe enough for about a dozen people. All look like they haven't been used in a little while. Lay around in disrepair and scattered, even. Among what you see here, you're able to find a disguise kit, some replacement and extra cosmetics for a disguise kit, and a silver mirror.
I feel like Lucan would want the disguise kit for the makeup.
I might want the silver mirror, too.
Yeah, but the silver mirror is probably worth some
Wait,
money.
It's silver! I don't want that! I don't want the silver mirror.
Wait, is silver bad for vampires?
I mean,
that was just werewolves.
There's some lore back and forth where, like, yeah, I wouldn't say it's all.
Which one? Yeah, which one means what, right?
But let's find out for Pathfinder 2nd Edition vampires.
It's also worth 5 gold, which is a lot.
While you're looking that up, I will let you know that I was misspoke a touch. There are 3 disguise kits and 10 replacement cosmetics for those disguise kits.
And that's this entire area to the south here?
Yes.
The rest of y'all coming?
Let's do it.
But I will continue to scout the bone pile area.
Don't get too close.
I'm sorry.
Going back into the area where the bone piles are, piles of bones lie in heaps throughout this chamber. They rise to 20 feet in some places, nearly touching the ceiling, and they completely clog passages leading from the room to the north and the south. The smell of burnt flesh fills the air.
Kudrick mutters himself,
God, a hurry is going to really replace everything here.
I kind of glance around looking for the source of the burnt flesh smell, if there's anything specific here. I know it's a, like you said, it's a rendering, so that could just be.
Well, one thing you've basically found out pretty quickly is that, yes, the whole place is kind of a rendering site. However, it's been out of use for some time. Not for rendering, at least. But this burnt smell seems to be coming more further in. It's hard to tell with all the bone piles up here. As you enter to go deeper into this room, you step on a rib, and the rib awkwardly curls in and knocks a bone on one of the piles, and then it shudders, and then it collapses onto you.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Need you to give me a reflex save.
22.
A 22 is a success. However, the bone pile still falls onto you, and even though you dodge out of the way...
The fuck?
What?
You need to take half of 29 damage.
It's some fucking
Jesus.
Bones.
20-foot high pile of bones.
Goddamn ghosts, they fall right through me.
Falls all over your ectoplasm. And just with the cacophonous clattering of bones sprays throughout the chamber, and you can all hear it clearly in the other chamber.
Now, wait a minute. I float above the floor. I don't even step on stuff.
Yeah, you trigger it somehow. My narrative was off, not the rules.
I don't know about that.
You approached within the appropriate number of feet.
That hurt a lot.
That's a lot of damage.
So with the cause of the collapse, to the north, not inside of this chamber, but just off to the north in the chamber where Arius, Lucan, and Kix are, you hear from what actually looks to be an observation platform. What was that?
Hey, who's down there?
And three heads pop up from over a railing on the observation platform.
Just the heads? You're gonna have to ask in this campaign.
You really kind of do, don't you? I'll go ahead and actually share the art for these folks. Here's the first one.
Not just a head.
No, it's a human with like a mohawk, a black fluffy mohawk painted with like black face paint layered with white face paint in the shape of almost a skull on top of that.
Sareg the Dirge Screamer.
The other two are shaved bald, but also have similar, you know, white face paint over them, and they're wielding femurs that are sharpened into stakes, and they hold their lanterns up over the railing as they say, who goes down there? Gerdrug, as you're kind of like climbing out of the pile of bones that just fell on top of you, give me a perception check.
18.
You see to the north, beyond another pile of bones in this bone vault that you find yourself in, this creature, and it slithers and slides across the floor, and it's starting to slowly make its way towards you. It's pink and it's fleshy, it has eyeballs and teeth, and it undulates towards you. The leftovers. You think you see a hand in there? There's a couple of feet and eyeballs, bones, spines, and ribs, and it just... across the ground and moving in your direction.
Positioning-wise, Gerdrug, yes, is in the room all the way to the east, which is just filled with piles and piles of bones. Now, the rest of you are still in the main room, all the way on the south side, and you were investigating what looks to be a mostly abandoned campsite. I want to know what the party does immediately. You'll get just one quick round of actions before something actionable happens for you, I guess.
I kill everyone that needs to die.
Ooh, good. That's a three-action activity.
Yes, they're all dead. Do I have any kind of indication that... I mean, I do have an indication all hell's about to break loose, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as I know things are about to go down, I will cast Magic Fang on Sundrinker.
Okay, anyone else?
So are you telling me I have an entire round to react to something?
You've got a round to do something, yes.
I climb out from underneath the pile of bones.
Well, I'm going to cast Magic Weapon on... Well, I guess myself. Gerdrug's way too far away. So I'll cast Magic Weapon on my own sword.
Is there a big... What's this red thing? Is that a big-ass pillar?
No, those are...
Glass.
Yeah, pits covered in red-tinted glass.
So you
can stand on those.
Oh, I can stand on that.
Yes, you can stand on them, walk across them.
I'm going to move in the glass.
Into the glass?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Just onto the glass.
I'm a psychic. You never fucking know.
Yeah, I'm just double checking.
And I'm going to cast Spirit Link on my boy here.
Does it take my entire turn to get out from underneath the...
It does.
Okay.
What does Spirit Link do? And who are you casting it on again? I'm sorry.
Gudrug.
You had to move over to see him?
Yeah, it basically gives him fast healing and me fast healing too, and me not fast healing too. Every turn he loses, at the beginning of their turn, at the start of each of your turns. So it happens twice. So at the start of my turn, at the start of his turn, if he is ever below maximum, he will gain 2 hit points and I will lose 2 hit points.
Got it.
Oh, it's also when you cast the spell.
Oh, so it happens right away?
Let's say it happens right away.
When you cast a spell, and at the start of each of your turns. All right, well, then I will take this 2, and you will heal this 2. Kix is now badly injured.
Barely.
Barely. That says barely.
The red threw me off. I was like, badly?
Yeah.
The pile of bones falls, and this clatter occurs. The party reacts with their own, responses, casting spells and preparing themselves somewhere to the north in some alcove or an observatory platform where there's some stairs leading up. There's almost barricades of bones, and 3 heads pop out. All at the same time, the bones clatter across the floor to the north in the room that Swanee is in, and they roll up to this almost swill of human insides. And we're going to have everyone roll for initiative. This is going to be chaos.
Net 20.
What the fuck?
Did Tyler just roll a 19 and a 20?
Really? We fucking rolled phenomenal, and this is where we're at? Fuck you.
Goodness, yes.
That is so not good. I mean, it's a good thing. It's good for me, but really bad for you guys.
Then at the top of round one, Gurdrag got himself up real fast. He just, got all just bludgeoned with this pile of bones. Gets up real fast, and he starts us off at the top of round one. You see that swill starting to move towards you. You heard the exclamations coming from the north side of the main room. What do you do?
He hits the heal button.
Oh, right. Heal 2 because of kicks. I'm going to move. I'm not 100% sure where. Because there's piles of bones up to the north, right? That's what you're saying. There's kind of some piles of bones up there. Piles of bones all over to the west here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or east, sorry, east.
That room that you were in is just filled with bones.
I don't feel like I can hide from that thing. I'm moving closer to my friends. I wish there was more stuff to hide behind in this big open room, but there's not.
There's a lot of space in this the floor of what used to be a tannery.
2 move actions and then a stealth action to try to hide in this corner.
Okay. Yeah, give me...
Skills, stealth.
Give me your stealth check.
Not good. I might be using that hero point already here, guys.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I might be better off saving it for when I go down so I don't die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to waste. Oh, no, I'm not going to waste. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to use my hero point. Hope they're too busy to notice me.
Then after Gurdrug... We're actually going to go over to... I'm just going to kind of narrate a little bit here because we've got the humans in the order and then the leftovers is what the book calls the human swill, the leftovers.
Lovely.
All going in a row here, so let's get some of this out. The smaller human woman with a big flowy, poofy pompadour mohawk, shaved tight on the sides with the face paint, steps out from behind the bone barrier and takes a look around, and she says, "What is going on? Where's the patrols? How'd you get so deep into the lair? Boys!" And the 2 thugs come out and they say,
We was doing. Shut up! We've got invaders! Defend the hideout!
Masturbating.
Dagan?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Give me a perception check, everyone.
Well, I rolled a nat 20.
Less than a nat 20, that's for sure.
Lucan, with your natural 20, you are able to hear the leader who's kind of popped out. She, under her breath, whispers to them,
Kipketa's gonna kill us if we don't get them out of here. We gotta get them out of here.
So one of the bone shard tufts uses their first action to move out onto the floor from the observation platform. While he's moving, the leader has a flute that they've pulled out and they have in their hand, and they begin playing on the flute. They're going to get an Inspire Courage effect from that.
The fuck's a bard doing? No one plays that fucking class?
The one,
a flute bard, nonetheless.
The tough that came out onto the floor looks to his left as he gets there, and he looks right at Gerdrug, and he says,
I'm gonna get the ghost,
and runs right towards you. He's got a shard of bone in his hand. It's like a long splinter of bone. Almost a very wicked-looking stabbing weapon. But as he runs towards you, he kind of takes a javelin stance and throws it at you.
Okay, wasn't expecting that.
Does a 15 hit?
No.
It goes wide, shatters on the stone wall behind it, and he goes, you slippery ghost, I'ma get ya. And he has the another bone shard in his other hand. Then one of the other guys is going to use his first action to hop the barrier here. He leaps up over it.
Very cinematic.
And with his second and third action, he runs forward and does something very similar that they did to Gerdrug. Takes one of the bone shards he has in his hands and he throws it. Looks like it's going to be Sundrinker who gets targeted. Ooh, rolled poorly. 11 to hit.
Ha ha, no.
And again, the bone shard goes wide and misses its target. Now, while that's happening, up in the northeast corner, that pile of leftovers just slorps around the corner.
And Tyler, from a DM point of view, does this thing have any reason to be friends with these guys? Gotta be just a mindless, freaking disgusting thing, right?
I mean, it sounds like something you're gonna have to shit test.
I mean, I'm about to find out. Is it going to look at both of these guys or is it going to look directly at a ghost?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you're going to have to give me recall knowledge on this, but it is going to, when it gets around the corner, go right towards Gerdrug. Now, it doesn't actually have enough actions to do anything after he gets up to Gerdrug, but as he approaches, Gerdrug, this scent assaults you. It has an aura called Malatorous Smoke.
Ah, yes.
So I need you to give me a fortitude save. Did I say that right, David? Malatorous? Maladrous?
Malodorous.
Malodorous.
Because it's an odor.
Odor. Ah, malodorous. Malodorous smoke. Oh, what a good word. Anyways, what'd you get?
Well, how about a 24?
You're in the aura. You enter the aura as it approaches you. You succeed with a 24.
No, but a creature that succeeds at its save is temporarily immune for 1 minute, though.
That's correct. So that's the only time you're going to have to make that save. Unluckily for the bone shard tough that approached Gerdrug, he is also within the aura. He, unfortunately, is not so lucky. He gets a 13 and fails, which means he's sickened one. And he's,
oh, what is that thing? Oh. No, get it away! Oh, that's what that sound is? The smell? Oh.
Just gagging and in revulsion from this thing. Which takes us over to Sareg the Dirge Screamer, the one with the flute. With her first action, she is going to inspire courage or continue to do that. She started it before the combat.
Convenient.
Right. Mm. You guys got it.
Yeah, but that was in the confusion of them not knowing, even knowing what's going on.
How do you know that's not just get in knee-jerk reaction to seeing what's going on?
I must inspire people.
She's going to use her second and her third action to cast Daze on the only thing that's technically within range to her, and that is Sundrinker. All the way across on the other side, shoots a daze at Sundrinker. So will save.
Sundrinker gets a... Well, I get a 20.
A 20 is a success.
Hey.
So you're going to take half the damage. Then that is her turn, which takes us over to Kix. It's your turn.
Kix!
So does that healing still happen even though we're more than 30 feet away?
I don't see anything.
So we just had to be within 30 feet to start.
The only thing that I see breaks it is me dismissing it or it...
Or one of us going unconscious.
Yeah. So, button. Why did you say your daze is only, your daze is 120 feet?
Daze is 60 feet.
60 feet. You're a psychic.
Oh, I didn't.
That changes it?
Yeah, I didn't fix my. I have my unamped one in my normal one. All right. Well, anyways, I will show her how to daze things and to target her with daze.
Daze? I don't know if you're actually in range for that.
I am 120 feet.
Oh, that's right. Psych.
literally just
said that. Yeah, literally. All right.
So, yeah, she wants to try save from that.
She gets 19.
She does succeeds. I concentrated the spell, so that's all I got.
So you used a focus point to do that?
Yeah.
Got it. So on the success, the daze at this level is D10.
Correct.
F4 is 2. But she takes 2 damage. Which is exactly what Lucan took when it targeted when she targeted Sundrinker.
Oh, fuck.
Anyways, is that your turn, or do you still have one action?
No, I had to concentrate that spell.
Oh, sustain. Got it.
Sustain, yeah. I mean, right? It's a concentrate, right?
No, I just see duration of 10 minutes.
It's a duration of 10 minutes. You don't have to do anything.
What's sustain
so
again?
It says
inside the spell.
It'll
right?
say sustain. It'll either say sustained or sustain up to 1 minute.
I'll end my turn with the recall teachings.
What's the range on that, by the way, again? 30 feet?
Yeah. Anyone within 30.
After Kix, we actually have a tie at the bottom of round one. Arius and Lucan at a 10. Who goes first?
Lucan, you go.
Then, Lucan, it's your turn.
Action one, Sundrinker is going to move north 25 feet, start heading towards his friend Gudrug, who he feels is going to be getting surrounded. Then, I'm going to spend 2 actions to act together. And this guy, the furthest south one, is just within 30 feet of me. So that is prime electric arc range, which I cast on that guy.
Not quite enough to get back to the other one, but he'll give you a reflex save. And he gets a 25 on that.
Goodness gracious. Well, he succeeds. He'll take half damage. 5.
Takes 2.
He takes 2. Then with Sundrinker's single action from Act Together, they will attack that guy with a vine. With fucking Magic Fang. Strike. Get a 14 to hit and miss.
Yeah, 14 does miss.
Yeah, I think I'm saving my hero point.
Then that takes us over to the bottom of round one. Arius, it's your turn.
Arius will use his first 2 actions to move into flanking with Sundrinker on the southernmost enemy.
All right.
And then third action, he will take a swing. Girl, the natural one. It was on the fucking hovered the 19, too. I shouldn't waste my hero point, right? We're not burning all of our hero points in the first combat.
Well, I don't know.
So far,
see.
We have all chose not to. So,
yeah, I'll hold on to mine.
All right, let's see how it takes us. And Arius comes in, misses. This guy's dodging out of the way. At the top of round one, Gurdrug, you've got this creature next to you that. As you're standing next to it, you now see, like, there's this heat that's coming off of it. And I'm just going to keep calling it swill because I can't think of what else to call it. The swill is actually sizzling as it's, like, roiling over the floor.
Pretty sure it's leftovers. If I were to want to do a recall knowledge, what type of recall knowledge would it be?
On this thing?
On the leftovers.
You'd be looking at either religion... or some specific lore, but I don't think you're going to have the appropriate lore here.
Religion, not like occultism?
Yeah, really religion.
Religion. Fuck that then. Oh well, I'm moving away. I am going to tumble through on this guy. Well, hopefully. Acrobatics roll. How about a 27?
27 will do it and is in fact a critical success.
I am now behind him. He is now flat-footed to me.
He's flat-footed because of...
Because I have tumble behind my class rogue feature.
That's right. Okay.
Nice.
He's flat-footed and sickened. See if I can hit him. How about we crit him?
That'll critically
hell
hit.
Yeah.
I get a 25 to hit. I'm going to roll some D6s. 22 damage.
Damn.
Woo!
That's a big hit. That's it. You put him down from the top all the way to the bottom in one hit.
One good crit.
One really good crit. With the precision damage on top of that and everything, do you want to describe his death or do you want me to do it?
His weapons have ghost touch, which means that they can attack anything, but I feel like they are ghostly. So it's just like stabbing this, like, well, I guess it's a slashing weapon. I feel like it just kind of like goes through him and like slices like his heart or something, or his artery or something, like without like leaving like a physical, like you don't actually see the anything. He just falls over dead.
So he's actually just like internally bleeding from you slicing his organs open?
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
I like that.
Like it just like phases through him and slices like his insides.
As the blade passes through, the guy's eyes go wide as saucers, and then this blood just starts dribbling out of the corners of his mouth, and then he hits his knees and falls over dead.
Let's have a third action. We're going to move over here to the other guy that Arius and Sundrinker are flanking, mostly to get other people in between me and the enemies, but also to flank this guy.
All right, all right.
Sure hope there isn't an enemy that can run down and do like a lightning bolt on us all in a line there.
At level 2, God, I hope not. If there is, we need to run. Hoping this leftovers thing sees this dead body and is like, ooh, this looks good, and just like goes over and feeds on him or something.
Okay, so that's actually going to take us over to the bone tough that is now being flanked by like the entire party except for Kix here in one go, and is using their first action to move north. I don't think anyone has attack of opportunity of any kind.
Yeah, no.
No.
He's going to, with the second action, pull out one of those bone shards again and is going to throw it like a javelin at Gerdrug, who he just saw kill his comrade.
I'll aid.
Oh, aiding my defense.
Nice.
All right, let's see that check.
I critically succeed.
Nice.
That was almost a noof.
For plus 2 AC. And I'm like, quick on your left.
19 to hit.
Misses because of that plus 2.
Hell yeah.
Because my AC is 19.
And looking back just in time because of Kix's quick call out, Gerdrug moves out of the way just in time.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, it's not because of how he said it, but like you say something and I turn to look at you.
That's
and like as I look at you, it like flies like past my shoulder. Because we're not quite in sync yet.
If it works, it works.
I'm really liking this rogue having ways to get sneak attack without having to actually be flanking us.
Be flanking. The tumble behind is really good, I think. That worked out well.
It is. It's really good. I don't know why every rogue doesn't take it at first level. It should be at least every thief that's got high dex.
That takes us over to the leftovers. And the leftovers are going to use their first action to move toward the body that's on the floor. And it's going to kind of move over top of it, and the skin on it sizzles as it leaves scalding marks on it. As it's bubbling over, you see a lips form for a moment. And they say really nothing legible, but it paused at the body.
I don't think legible is the right word.
It's kind of
intelligible.
It paused at the body as it was like slurping over top of it and said something. But it continues forward and goes right toward the bone shard tough. Yeah, and it's just them who are in this malodorous smoke. The tough fails, but Salreg, the Dirge Screamer, succeeds. But the tough is now sickened one. And with its third action, this is the most confusing melee strike I've ever seen. It's called Offal. O-F-F-A-L.
Offal, also called variety meats, plucked of organ meats, is the organs
pluck
of a butchered... The organs of a butchered animal.
There you go.
Oh, it's the organs of a butchered animal. Wonderful.
Pronounced Offal.
Offal.
I guess it's an upside down E's, whatever the fuck that means.
Oh, Offal. It's Offal? Offal. Yeah.
Well, it certainly is Offal.
No.
Okay, all right. So as these, now we now know to be organs, butchered organs, lunge up and smack the bone shard thug in the face, it immediately begins to burn his face. You can hear the sizzle like bacon on a flat iron, and he takes 8 points of fire damage. But he also now has persistent fire damage on him. So, and it burns and he screams. And that takes us over to Sareg, the Dirge Screamer. She says, "Oh my god, it sounded like Dave."
"It burns, Sareg, it burns."
"Well, get away from it." And she uses her first two actions to cast telekinetic projectile at the leftovers.
Maybe we can collect her for our circus.
Ah, yes.
She only gets a 14 to hit and misses as this bow and flies at it and just goes wide. She seems a little shaken, and she takes a 5-foot step back into further into north of the room, back up where her camp is, the observation platform. And that takes us over to Kix. It's your turn.
My turn. I take 2 damage.
And I heal for 2.
And then I will... I'm feeling all right. I'm going to move up here and recall teachings and be done. Wait, that's... I will preemptively take out one of my elixirs, possibly, to take it next turn.
Okay.
So I'll move up with that elixir of minor life in hand and then recall teachings.
All right. Getting close. Make sure you're in range of the aid. Lucan, it's your turn.
All right. Let's see what we can do here. I'm really far back behind. So, action one, so that I move just south of Gerdrog, just north of Kix. I am within 30 feet of both of these guys, so I'm going to target both of them. And we are going to do... with 2 actions and an act together, a electric arc.
All right.
So a reflex save from both of them.
So act together is 2 actions, and it gives basically you guys 3 actions to work with?
Essentially. Yep, that's essentially right. Looks like they both succeeded.
With a 27 and a 19.
Yep, so they will each take half of this damage, which is 5.
Is that another 1? That sucks.
Yeah, I haven't rolled very well. They've rolled well against me. And then with Sundrinker's action from Act Together, they will move north just a little bit to begin to engage these baddies.
All right. They're going to need to give me a fortitude save.
A fortitude save?
They've gotten within its malodorous smoke aura.
Pretty good at fortitude saves, a 20.
20 is a success, and you're now immune for the next minute.
Yay. Does the plant really smell?
I don't know. We could ask those questions literally every time something happens in this campaign.
That's true.
I was considering it with the bones falling, and then this thing attacking Gerdrug, and I don't know, man. We'll just roll with it. After Lucan, Arius, it's your turn.
Arius is going to use his first 2 actions to move 10, 20, 25, 30, 35 feet up to Sareg. And then third action, take a swing. Roll the 4 and got a 12.
She dodges just out of the way.
Continuing on of not doing anything this combat.
Are you sure you want to travel with me?
Yes.
Top of round 3, Gerdrug, it's your turn.
Kind of feeling like the leftovers is the bigger threat here at the moment. So I'm going to get in flanking with it.
Oh, wow.
But that's a bad guy.
This is interesting.
Tell. Is
an enemy of any
enemy of my enemies my friend? Like we're both its foe.
I guess. Let me look. No, it clearly says in the flanking rules when you and an ally are flanking a foe.
It's a little little short-sighted there, Pathfinder. I'm going to delay. We'll let the two of them duke it out for a little bit.
Kurdrug delays.
Oh, by the way, Chief, here you go.
Oh, I get some more healing. Let me take some more damage. Now you're badly injured, Kix.
Yeah, I'll keep it up. I think I'm sitting okay in the back here.
So I'm two away from max now.
So his plan's to keep you at max. I can keep the spirit link, but not take more damage.
Alright, I guess that is going to take us over to the remaining bone shard. Tough is, you know, burning from this creature, this thing that slapped him in the face, but more importantly, the heavily armored greatsword wielding skeleton knight ran up to his friend, and is, you get away from Solreg, and moves up next to you, uses his second action to shove. Oh, just does terrible, gets a 9.
Failure.
Not a critical failure?
Not a critical failure.
So when he goes to, like, you know, put his hands up on your chest, and it just kind of thuds up against your breastplate, and you just stand steady. He instead stabs at you with the bone shard that he's carrying.
Didn't he throw it last turn? Or did he draw another one?
He drew one. He began combat with 2.
Oh, okay.
One on each hand. So this is this, tries to stab at you, but gets a 7 on that.
That is a miss. Critical miss.
Well, the thought that counts, right? It's the leftover's turn.
He takes persistent damage, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right, he does. Let's resolve that, because he's got persistent fire from the leftovers. He takes 2 persistent damage. Rolls a 2 on his check to recover. So he's still burning as he walks up to defend his friend. All right, that's going to take us over to the leftovers. Now, the leftovers aren't detecting any motion right in front of them, as they had a moment ago, so they kind of slurp around for a moment, and then start sliding toward Sundrinker, because they are the closest.
Aid
Sundrinker's AC?
Yep.
Thanks.
Succeed. Plus 1.
21 succeeds.
Thanks.
So for the strike here against Sundrinker, gets a 23 to hit.
Well, that will still hit.
That will still hit. All right. Then Sundrinker is going to take 6 points of fire damage.
Okay.
Sundrinker now also has persistent fire damage on them.
Okay.
And there's a passive ability that this creature has called Slippery Grease. The first time on its turn that the Squirming Swill hits a creature with its awful strike. Hot grease from its body spatters the ground and the target's space. The target must succeed at a reflex save. Or an acrobatics check, whichever you prefer.
Ooh. Oh, I think I'm better at reflex. Nope, the same. Both plus 6. Alright, reflex then.
Ugh, 12.
12. Then with all of that disgusting grease and swill in Sundrinker Square after taking a smack from this thing, Sundrinker falls prone.
Ate it.
And then with its third action, it's going to smack Sundrinker once more, now while it's prone.
Okay.
19 to hit.
Do I still have that plus 2, or is that just for one attack?
Oh, just one attack. I aided that a certain action.
Oh, I'm also prone. Yeah, that it's...
All right, then you'll take 5 points of fire damage.
Okay.
And that's its turn.
I'm going to jump in.
Oh, Gerdrug jumps in. All right, then Gerdrug, it's your turn.
Yeah, so I'm going to go around the leftovers to get in flanking with good Sundrinker. And we're going to attack it. And hope this thing can be, oh, doesn't matter. That's a big old miss. Going to roll a 2 for an 11.
An 11 will miss.
Well, try a second time and roll a 9. Not going to do it. That's 2 misses.
Then after Gerdrug, that's going to take us over to Saureg the Dirge Screamer. Saureg is going to use their first action to continue to inspire courage.
With her second action, she's going to pull out a short sword. And with her third action, she's going to stab Arius.
Try to stab Arius.
You're right. Sorry. Try to stab Arius. 21.
Okay, she just stabbed Arius.
So. She gets you? Okay, all right. Take 5 points of piercing damage from the stab.
Okay.
And that's her turn. Which takes us over to Kix. It's your turn.
I will heal, finishing putting Gudrig back up to full, I think. Yep.
Yep, I'm at full.
And I've got a blob close to me and then these two guys up there. I'm going to telekinetic projectile the blob.
Okay.
And then,
with a piercing from a bone.
Have I seen anybody successfully hit this thing?
No, it hasn't taken... Well, it's taken damage from an electric arc.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot.
Let's just try bludgeoning. Is there a rock somewhere? Or maybe one of these bones? We'll throw it. Chuck a bone at him. He can eat it.
Smack him with a skull or something.
18?
18 hits.
8 possible damage?
8.
Bludgeoning?
It takes all of that damage. You can even see one of the bones that's like makes up its form cracks when you throw the bone, the skull at it, let's say.
Nice. I heal for 1.
Is that you drinking your elixir?
Yeah. 3 gold, worth it.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, that's all good.
Does that one also give you a bonus to your saves? Is that a, what type of...
Yeah, diseases.
Then after Kix... That takes us over to Lucan and Sundrinker. It's your turn.
Okay. Well, first action is Lucan's going to move.
You want to battle medicine me? No. You do your thing.
I could, couldn't I?
You're really thinking about that.
It probably doesn't look like I've taken any damage, to be honest. It's like all fucking mental damage.
Yeah. We haven't figured that out about each other well enough yet.
That's fine.
Any success you have is accidental at best.
Lucan will move to here and will then cast Electric Arc on these two. We're going after the Uzi guy and the thuggy bad guy. Electric Arc reflex saves.
Okay, before I do those reflex saves and you're standing where you're at and this awful smell hits your nose, give me a fortitude save.
Okay. Ooh, I rolled a nat 1. I think I will take a hero point on that.
You will. Okay.
I don't want to be sickened. That's dumb.
This doesn't seem to be sickened, too.
I get a 28.
From a nat 1
with
to
a nat 20.
Well, then, you are just fine. In fact, you're immune for a minute. Okay, now I'll roll that reflex saves. All right. Oh, bone shard tough. You got rolled a 2 on the die. Gets critical failure with an 8.
Ooh.
Sareg gets a 24.
Ooh, that sickened condition.
Actually, that sickened condition turned it to a critical failure.
Thanks, leftovers.
Damage. 7 of it.
Okay, so he takes double, which is 14, and that takes him down. Convulses and rolls down the stairs because he's here, and he rolls into a pile of bones, and they clatter across the floor. He's still smoking from that persistent damage, too.
That dude's fucked.
Then the other takes 7.
Correct. Sarag takes 3.
And then I guess Sundrinker will stand with their single action from back together.
Then after Lucan, that takes us over to Arius. It's your turn.
Arius is going to start swinging at Sarag.
So anyways, I started swinging.
I wanted to say that really badly. I was like, no. 27 to hit.
27 hits.
That's not a critical.
Just shy.
Low damage. Oh. 16 damage.
16. All right. There's that magic weapon coming in. That's 2d12 there.
Second swing. 22 to hit.
Did you roll 2 19s in a row?
I did. Much better damage, too. 20 damage.
Ooh. Yeah, that's...
Wow. This chick screwed, ain't she?
Chop, chop, man. Chop, chop. She is... in 2 pieces on the floor.
Goodness.
You know, I mean, choose the direction of your cut, you know? We're going, like, armpit to hip, you know, just straight across the torso, bifurcated head to crotch. Your choice, man.
Third action, I'd keep stabbing the two mortals next to me.
Not anymore. Now they're just dead. They make squish sounds.
For deity reasons, I just keep stabbing. Fuck these mortals.
Oh, man.
Wait, fuck, are we supposed to take these bodies to Berline?
It's not going to be much left of them.
They'll just need a little extra stitching. It's fine.
Combat is not quite over, though. It's after Arius uses the rest of his turn to stab, stab, stab. That takes us over to the leftovers.
He burns for two, but he succeeds his save.
The fire goes out on one of the bone shard tufts. Bodies, I guess. Oh, man. All right. So, yes, Gerdrug has come and approached from behind here and gotten the leftovers in a flanking position, but they don't know any better. So the leftovers, even though Gerdrug is now flanking it, it doesn't really care. It has something that it's latching onto now, and that's Sundrinker. So it's going to try to, like, slurp up onto Sundrinker while they're prone. Wait, no, they're not prone anymore, right?
Yeah, they stood up.
No, I stood up.
They stood up, that's right. Well, it's not going to stop them from attacking you anyways. Ah, it's a natural one on the die for the attack. We'll obviously miss. We're going to try that again. 18 to hit Sundrinker.
18. Yeah, on the money.
18 will hit. All right. Then Sundrinker is going to take some fire damage. 9 of it.
Okay.
And because it just wants to consume you, a third time will work.
Oh, that was almost a 20. Jesus.
It misses. That takes us over to Gerdrug. It's your turn. You see this creature just burning, and bits of Sundrinker's leaves are sizzling and, you know, turning into ash.
17 to hit it flat-footed?
17 hits it. It can be flat-footed.
It can be flat-footed. Now can it be precision damaged?
It can.
Then it takes 12. Slashing, if it takes slashing. So many things that it might not.
Yeah, 12 damage, all of it goes through.
Slicey slice again with a 23 to hit.
Also hits.
For 15 damage.
15, and this thing
now we're
just
taking some chunks.
Deflates as you slice through it, and like these fluids and chunks of organs and bones start sliding across the floor as they thin out in substance, and they turn into almost liquid, and this pile of pink viscera sizzles on the tile floor, and all is quiet.
Nice.
Huh. I was worried there for a minute.
Yes, that didn't end up being quite as bad as I'd worried. Still a little injured.
I know I never got hit, but I don't feel good.
You guys were worried?
When I was in a corner with two creatures on me, yeah, I was a little worried.
Lucan, take 2 points of fire damage.
Stop! Ow!
Lucan, take more fire damage.
I don't like it. This is very annoying.
And it's just because Sundrinker is smoldering.
You should have taken stop, drop, and roll.
Help me, Kix. You always give me these aids. Put me out.
I'll aids you.
Give me aids, Kix. And what'd you get on your aid check?
17.
Well, that would be a success. However, it's not enough to assist Lucan in overcoming the persistent on his most recent attempt. So go ahead and give it another shot as we're about to come through for another round of it. Do you have any potions you want to try taking while you're trying to put the fire out, or?
I don't have any.
All right.
I spent all my money on clothes.
And that tracks.
You gotta have a thing.
All right, Kick succeeds in the aid, and Lucan burns a little more. Sundrinker burns a little more. 1 point of fire damage, and a 12 successfully is going to clear that persistent damage then.
With the aid. Yay. Well, that was very dumb. Let's take 5 hours and heal up.
I'm going to clear everything out here and end the combat. But, yep, that's it right there, basically. I am... Not basically. That's just that combat's over. As the heat of battle quiets down and you just have the occasional echoing of bones sliding down that large pile
one of the several large piles in the eastern room just from the recent disturbance. Gerdrug, you see in the pile of flesh is a chunk of silver.
Like this one right next to me?
Yep.
Like the one we just killed?
Yep.
I grab it.
There's two chunks of silver, actually, and each are worth 10 gold points.
Nice. I'm like, And I pull, I've still got my dog slicer out. I, like, start carving into it to see if there's anything else in there of value.
You're slicing through the leftovers. No, you do not find anything else of value. Mostly bones, gallbladder here and there. Nothing useful to you.
Okay.
The bone shard tufts each have a set of leather armor. They weren't wielding any weapons that you could really use. They're literally shards of bone. But they each also had a hooded lantern as well, if you'd like either the leather armor or the hooded lantern.
Oh, leather armor is worth, looks like, 2 gold apiece.
2 gold, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to take leather. God, which one of you guys has magic detection? Detect magic?
I do. Detect magic.
Grindrug will ask you to see if there's anything magical in the area.
Nothing.
Just my personality.
Sareg, the dirge screamer, had a short sword, a flute, and thieves' tools. And a really bitchin', like, white and black leather checkered tunic.
I'll take the thieves' tools.
So anyway, we are gonna sit down and, like, heal for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Why? No, we're good.
Shut up, bone man.
Oh my god, we're only level 2. No continual recovery. I sit down for my first 10 minutes.
Only roll good then.
Yeah, we'll see. I attempt to heal myself with my first one. I fail.
While he's healing, I'm gonna search their tent area. I get a 17.
You're searching through the tent area, and you don't come up with anything of consequence. A lot of what you're seeing here are just the necessary provisions for humans to live. You see a couple of cans of food. There are also some withered produce in a basket in the corner. There's a fire going over here. It looked as though that they were playing some rudimentary game of cards and or like checkers, maybe. There's a grid carved into the stone, and there's some pieces, the bone pieces, to represent pieces on a game board. But aside from that, don't really see anything. No journal, no scrap of paper, nothing.
Okay, then. I am not going back in that room of bones by myself. That almost killed me last time.
I ain't going anywhere for about a day.
You gonna roll checks, or you just gonna...
I mean, the first one, I guess, the first 10 minutes I try it, I do nothing. I'll attempt to do kicks in the next 10 minutes.
We still have the same medicine check, right? We're still both trained.
Yeah, I'm trained.
Plus 6.
Fail.
Fuck it, we're all gonna die!
It sucks so much at this level. We're all gonna die.
Can't succeed to treat wounds.
I reverse my link with cure drug.
Who else needs to be healed? Does everybody need a healing?
I'll patch myself up.
I'm fully healed.
Alright, well, then we're waiting an hour.
Thanks to Kix.
I got you. Except you still probably don't even know it was me.
I just, yeah, as that combat went on, I just felt better and better, and I have no idea why. I took it as, like, because I was killing things. And I was
rejuvenating yourself.
I can suck these people's life essence out.
We'll let it pass, right? There are no immediate threats. This will all go by. I'm just going to add 2 hours to the clock, and let's say everybody is up to full. So you're all healed up. It's just after midnight. You can't really tell. You're underground.
It's like the middle of the day for us.
Exactly. What do you do?
Well, seems to be nothing here, so I guess we move on?
I suppose.
We don't want to search this room at all?
Wait, no, we would have done that while we were waiting, right?
Yeah. Gerdrug was specifically waiting for somebody else to go into the room with him.
I'll go behind you. You check for traps. I don't know how to check for traps.
You use those big empty eyes in your skull.
My eyes aren't empty. Yeah, they are.
I mean, I literally have nothing that aids me in finding traps that than you do, so.
My perception's low as shit, though. Well, that's probably not that much worse. What's yours?
Hey, mine's 6.
Okay, so it's the same.
I have a high bonus, but I have a low wisdom, so I don't have... Like, I'm expert, but since I have, like, 0 wisdom...
Well, I'm just trained.
It kind of evens out.
All right, we start looking for traps. I don't see any traps. Everything's trapped. Everything's trapped in there. What are you doing? I rolled a natural one.
Oh, Jesus.
I get a 20 to try to pick my way through the bones. I keep throwing bones at the piles in front of me before I move up to them.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure.
Arius, you just are convinced that there must be traps everywhere, obviously. Look at all of these dead bodies. Gerdrug, you would, as you look around, you see that all of the tall, really high piles of bones that were here are littering the floor. Now, everything in here is difficult terrain right now. Because
I float over it.
The little paths that you have on the map here don't exist anymore. They're just bones scattered everywhere. But nothing that's hazardous any longer.
I'm specifically interested in where that ooze thing came from. Was it, what was it? I mean, it wasn't an ooze, I suppose. It was an undead something or other, I guess, maybe.
Nobody recalled knowledge on it.
Yeah, I don't have religion, so fuck that.
That being said, if you head up to the corner where it came from, you see that there is, like, a passage going to the north. And the bones are so thick that they are absolutely clogging that passage. And not in a, you know, shuffle some bones out of the way fashion. They're completely packed through those tunnels. There is a pile back here with a vase. And in the vase, you can see this, like, slithering, slimy sheen from where this thing climbed out. And in fact, as you get closer, that looks more like a cauldron than anything else.
I take out my walking cauldron.
Oh, lovely. I...
Clang, 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 clang.
Check
clang,
out
clang,
the
clang.
Cauldron.
So, give me a perception check.
I'll put a 26 crafting check.
I don't know why you did that.
I don't know. See whatever was in the cauldron.
But I'll take your 19 on the die, I guess.
Sure. I roll perception, I get a 22.
So... As you're checking this area out, you can see that it certainly looks, because you notice the trail of slime that this thing left everywhere that it went. It must have crawled out of this cauldron. You also find that there is among the bones, a stick, and it's an elegantly carved stick.
Fancy. I take it.
One of them good sticks.
So they could hit somebody with it, or...
Detect magic! No. As you're picking it up and looking at it, Lucan can tell you that, that thing's likely magic.
Yeah, I'd bring it to him anyways. He's over there healing people or whatever.
Magic. Gerdrug brings you something that looks like a charred bone with some carvings in it.
I bet it's a fetish.
It's not a fetish. It certainly seems like a wand of some kind.
I'll make a check on it if we want to take 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, we have like 3 or 4 or 5 hours, so.
True, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
At this point.
Nature. Nope. I don't know what it is.
So there's nothing left in the cauldron?
Nope. Nothing left in there at all.
Since we're all rolling on it. We all take a turn passing it around to see who can figure out what this thing is.
Nope.
We all try a different one, though. Nature, religion, and then occultism.
If I must...
Identify magic is what you were using here. Gerdrug, can you actually identify magic?
Well, anybody can that has the skill.
That's how that works.
I mean, it's not a feat or anything. You just have to make a check with one of the corresponding skills.
25 occultism.
I don't know why Kix wasn't doing it.
So I was reading things.
A 22 actually doesn't get it, Gerdrug. But Kix...
There you go. I hand it off to Kix.
25 does. You identify this as a wand of harm. First level.
Nice.
Damn.
Hell yeah, I keep that.
That passageway to the north that's clogged with bones is mirrored to the south. Also, just a tunnel passageway clogged with bones. It's staggering, really, the number of bodies that must have gone into producing this amount of bones.
Took at least 7.
You know, I was thinking about that also. Just how many bodies it would take to fill an entire, is it 10-foot wide hallway?
It's a lot of bones.
And yes, Ted, at least 7.
I mean, for sure over like 20. there's like hundreds of bodies in there. 200.
If anyone would like to consider where this might come from, you can make a...
Well, we are underneath the meat district or whatever it was.
Yeah. And Spencer, you have Great Urge lore, don't you?
Yeah, sure do.
Does somebody have the that quick counting, that estimation feat?
That's me, yeah.
Just estimate, Spencer, how many bodies?
how many bodies? Eye for numbers.
Just in this room alone?
I can eyeball it.
Just in this room alone, easily 1,000. We're talking about, like, clogging the tunnels? Tens of thousands, depending on how far the tunnels go.
Well, I roll a 4 on my sanity check and get an 11.
Gertrug isn't really sure. Kix, however, you actually know that, yeah, actually, if this is what you think it is, this is a section that, like, their tunnels are rumored to have this place, these flesh halls, far beneath the city, called the Gibbering Flesh Halls.
Gross.
Yes.
Is that Gibbering or Gibbering?
Gibbering.
Like the gibbering mouthers or whatever?
Gibbering. Yeah. Gibbering Flesh Halls.
Gif-jif.
Yeah, that's a good point. The necromancer architects of Old Grey Dirge provided a great deal of sustenance for the city's ghoul and vampire populations. But they rendered more flesh than they could possibly use. Their solution was to bury it. And that's the Gibbering Flesh Halls.
So what's with the red glass? Any kind of check we can do to figure out what the hell that's for?
Go ahead and give me a crafting check.
Can I use my 26 from earlier?
I'll tell you what. It's not difficult to ascertain that this red glass is actually the same, functionally, as the red glass at the Theater of Sin. The glass filters light, and it filters the harmful elements of light to creatures such as vampires or other light-sensitive creatures.
Ooh, nice.
Are there levels below us? Are we seeing through to a lower level?
You're not entirely sure. The glass is fogged.
Like, where would sunlight be coming from that it would need to filter it out?
I make myself, like, a cage of this that I can be in at all times and wheel along. I'm just in it, and then Sundrinker pushes it with wheels.
Just a red glass box.
Yes.
You don't have to breathe.
It's true.
Huh.
This is how all the fancy vampires travel.
You'd have to have, like, a carriage that just is all this. Windows. You can't just be like a solid glass box. You gotta go all fancy with it.
That'd be fun.
You know where to find some if you need it.
I suppose so. I'll keep this in mind.
Just have a fancy ass carriage with these kind of with this glass in your the windows.
Hell yeah.
So anyways, I just start swinging. Just smashing all the glass.
No!
So, was that really all there was to this Bone Shards gang? Just 3 people hanging out in a giant catacomb? Are our detective skills really just that bad? Find out next time as we continue Bloodlords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.